Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Hey, everybody, this is Josh.
And this is Scott.
Yeah, we're glad to be back. It was a great weekend. Mm-hmm. Sunday was wonderful. Man, there were a lot of people, and singing was loud. Really loved that.
I love our building.
Yeah, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
You know, we usually don't say we love our building, but let me explain that. I love the singing in our building.
Yes.
Our building is really works well for congregational singing.
Yeah, it does.
You hear people.
Yeah.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. Very encouraging. And then on Saturday, we had a leadership day. Now, some people might not know anything about that, so let's tell them what that was.
Oh, that was fun. First annual Grace Leadership Day. We could call it a lot of things. Who was there? It says leaders, but really, yes, but servants, people who have signed up to do service in the various ministries of grace for the next year.
Yep.
Fall, winter, spring. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people weren't there, but who still serve. So like we didn't have our Sunday morning team with door greeters and bulletin people that pass out the bulletins. But what we had were, we focused on the areas of service where people were either teaching at any age group or they were facilitating a small group discussion, a small group of some kind, or singing worship. Because the common thread there was the ministry of the word, whether it's through song or didactic approach, teaching, or discussion orientation, or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah. So we had them all together, did a big charge at the beginning, put some vision out there, and then everybody went to their individual groups and ministries to do some training.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great.
Yeah. Takes a lot of volunteers to make ministry happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people giving their time, and so it was a good time to get together.
And we are grateful for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then on Sunday morning, we are continuing on Acts, week two.
That's right. Second week. Covered verses 1-5 mm-hmm. and of chapter 1. And next week, we'll finish out this introductory section. But I wanted to slow down. I was telling you earlier that it was midweek last week when I decided to actually focus where we focused on Sunday, which was Jesus' preparation of the apostles.
Yeah.
I had intended to go on through verse 11 all the way through the ascension of Jesus, but felt the need to slow down and talk about the apostles and what Jesus did in the 40-day window between his resurrection and his ascension into heaven and why he did it and why it matters to us.
Yeah. So
that was Sunday.
Yeah, that's awesome. What would you say was the burden that you were feeling in preparing that
mm-hmm.
sermon?
Mm-hmm. When I was thinking about what Jesus did with the apostles in terms of commanding them, teaching them, showing himself alive to them, telling them about the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. Telling them to wait for the Holy Spirit, I realized that very often what we do as Christians is we read Acts, and where there are, in this early chapter, the first chapter in these early verses, where there are specific things happening between Jesus and his apostles, I realize that we often just remove the apostles mm-hmm. and act as if Jesus was doing those things to us.
Mm.
And therefore, we forget the role that the apostles play in the church. And so the burden that I had was to not go too quickly through that introductory section, but to slow down and bring back to our minds just that, our relationship to the apostles and the role that they played, designated by Jesus for his church, which Ephesians 2 says is a foundational role.
Hmm.
So that means it's not a what we would call a mediatorial role. They don't stand between us and Christ, and therefore we can only get to Jesus through the apostles.
Yeah,
they have been given a deposit, a truth that they have handed down, and therefore they become the foundation. The foundation of truth comes from Jesus through his apostles that we build upon.
Yeah.
So we're, again, just to be clear, we're still praying. We're still relating to Jesus. We're following Jesus directly.
Yeah.
We're praying to the Father through Jesus. We're not coming to Jesus through the mediatorial role of the apostles or Mary or anybody else.
Right.
We're coming directly to Jesus, but they have laid a foundation.
Yeah.
So that was the burden, it's a long way to answer your question, sorry, but the burden of it was to slow down and say, what is our relationship to the apostles? Because it's clear in this early chapter, this first chapter, that Jesus is doing something specific with the apostles.
Yeah.
Which it actually says that. He chose them, and then he taught them, and then he commissioned them.
That's right. And you, you know, you in saying we sometimes bypass the apostles, let's unpack that for a second.
Yeah.
In what way might we just kind of like skip over the apostles or treat ourselves like them?
Here's a great way, or not a great way, a terrible way. Here's a clear way, but it's a terrible way. We assume that because we have a direct relationship with Jesus, that Jesus can speak to us apart from the apostles, apart from the Bible, we should say. So let's start there. The what Jesus gave to the apostles to give to us is the New Testament. And I know this for a fact, that very many people in what would be called a progressive or liberal take on the Christian faith do not feel obligated to pay attention to and adhere to the New Testament teaching of the apostles. They feel like that Jesus can lead them in their own conscience. You know, that they are priests unto God, and they have religious liberty and liberty of conscience, and they have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can speak to them just as he did the New Testament writers, and they're not necessarily bound by what the New Testament teaches.
Yeah,
and I think that's an error. I mean, it is. That's a wrong way of looking at it. But that's probably the worst way that we bypass the apostles. We think, oh, they're not important. It's me and Jesus can speak to me, and he does speak to me. But very often they claim that he speaks to them, but what they claim is contrary to the New Testament.
Yeah,
to the
apostles. And often somehow really in line with whatever's going on culturally right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you've just hit it on the head right there. That's it. Yes. It's whatever's of the moment.
Yeah.
And so really, if they were honest, they would just say, Jesus didn't speak to me. I'd just prefer to listen to the culture than I would the New Testament. Now, of course, we have to apply the New Testament to our culture.
Right.
But that's not what we're talking about. That's a whole other topic. But that's one way. You know, for instance, another example of that, John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to the apostles, and he says that he will give them the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance all that Jesus taught them. If you bypass the apostles, then you think, oh, well, Jesus gave me the Holy Spirit, and he's going to teach me directly. Okay, what you will end up with is something that you think Jesus taught you that is contrary to what he taught the apostles. When in fact, John chapter 14 is Jesus telling his apostles the very thing that he did in Acts 1, which is give them the Holy Spirit so that they can take everything Jesus taught them and lay it as the foundation for the church so that we then can build upon it.
Yeah.
That's the way that verse should go.
Yeah.
That's what happens when we bypass the apostles and just think that that Jesus speaks to us in fresh ways that are disassociated from what he told his apostles who wrote it down in the New Testament.
Yeah. You can see that, I guess, in Acts chapter 2 also. You have 3,000 new believers at the end of Acts chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And so the way we were talking about a moment ago, you might just think they're all off praying on their own and coming to their own conclusions about what they need to be doing in order to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Instead, they look at Peter and they say, what must we do? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They listen to him. And then once those people believe and are baptized, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching.
Yes.
And so they're spending their time hearing from the apostles about the things that Jesus taught them.
That's exactly
right. In the post-resurrection, yeah.
That's exactly right. And so we could then say that we today, as Christians, as the church, we are, number one, being faithful to Jesus. And number two, we are hearing the voice of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit as we pay attention to the New Testament, which is what Jesus taught his apostles that they would write down for us.
Yeah.
So we can't say, well, I can follow Jesus. We shouldn't ever think I can follow Jesus apart from the New Testament, or I can hear the voice of Jesus apart from the New Testament, or I can be filled with the Spirit and be obedient apart from the New Testament. It's all connected.
Yeah.
And that's what we are left with here in our day, is to say, is that Jesus gave us the truth through the apostles who have laid it down for us as the foundation, and the church is built upon that.
Mm-hmm. We have a doctrinal statement,
mm-hmm.
and we also have our denominational doctrinal statement,
mm-hmm.
and there are other creeds and confessions and things that various Christians kind mm-hmm. of adhere to or have used as a resource. How should we think about things like creeds and confessions in light of what we've learned about the apostles' teaching?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the first thing is that it is okay and even good to have confessions of faith, summaries of what the Scripture teaches. That's good. And they are good only so far as they are faithful to what the apostles have given to us from Jesus in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like it's a form of a systematic theology. I mean, if you take a big old systematic theology book, I think the one we often read around here at Grace is about 1,500 pages,
right?
And nobody says, "Well, this is the Bible." We say, "No, it's a summary," which is really not a summary. If a theology book is 1,500 pages, is it a summary? I think it's an expansion.
Yes.
But anyway, it does bring together what the Bible teaches. So we would say, yes, a systematic theology book is helpful in the sense that if it is faithful to the Scripture. Similarly, we would say with creeds and confessions, they're much, much shorter, obviously. They are summaries. We would say that it's systematizing in some ways, or it's taking some topic of theology, the nature of the Trinity or the nature of Christ,
yep.
and it's bringing it together for us. So they're good, and we should let them guide us,
mm-hmm.
but we should always be discerning.
Yep.
And thankfully, the historic confessions of the Christian Church that Protestant evangelical people today read have been around a long time, and they have been vetted.
Yeah.
And so we can by and large trust that they're faithful. But there might be some lines in a confession of faith or a statement of faith that we can argue with. I won't go into detail, but I'm thinking of a line right now that when I read a certain statement of faith, I'm like, nah, I don't think that's really the way it is. But that's not the Bible. It is an interpretation of the Bible, but that's not the Bible. So I'm free to disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not free to disagree with the Scripture.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's helpful. I think if nothing else, like sort of the defining of terms.
Yeah.
Because if we just kind of walk around and be like, well, our creed is the Bible, you know, that doesn't mean that we're in an agreement.
Correct.
About what we believe the Bible says about something.
Correct.
And so defining what salvation is, for example,
mm-hmm.
Some people might define salvation in very different terms than what we believe the Bible represents it as. You know, mm-hmm. we were talking about sin and the need for a savior. Someone else might say that salvation has it to do with that and financial prosperity or something. They
That's
might
right.
lump it all in together with other things. And so if we don't have something that says, and this is what we mean by
yes.
salvation, then
yes.
it doesn't help us get on the same page.
That's right. And why do we need to be on the same page? One of the reasons that confessions or statements of faith can help us
mm-hmm.
is if we're going to partner with people to teach the gospel and theology and do missions or the Great Commission, we have to make sure we're actually doing the same, teaching the same thing and doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways we know that is if we can not just say, well, I believe the Bible and you believe the Bible, so let's get on with it. We can say, no, I believe this is a good statement
mm-hmm.
that summarizes the teaching of the Bible in these particular areas.
Yeah.
And the other person says, I do too. And we say, great, then we can have confidence that we're going to be doing the same thing. We're going
right.
to be saying the same thing about the gospel, and we're going to be doing the same thing about the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas someone else might say, well, no, my statement of faith says this, and on these three or four things that are significant, my statement of faith differs from you, that means we don't see the Bible teaching. We don't understand the Bible on those teachings the same way.
Yeah.
And we might not be then able to, with one voice, speak and with one great effort, do the same work.
Yeah.
And so a statement of faith can help us figure out who it is we're going to be able to partner with.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go so far as to say if somebody differs with me, they're not a Christian.
Right.
By any means, unless they just don't understand the gospel. But, you know, on maybe some secondary issues, they might be a Christian. But it might prevent us from being able to do a particular work together because we're just not doing the same work.
Yeah.
Or saying the same thing.
Yeah. But rounding it all back around.
Yeah, yeah.
The test for a statement of faith or a creed or a confession is not a thing in and of itself, but it is how well it accurately represents the New Testament, which is the apostles' teaching, which is the foundation that everything is built on.
Absolutely, because Jesus is the one that gave it to them through the power, through his own teaching and mm-hmm. through the ministry of the Spirit that he said he was going to give them to bring it to their remembrance.
Yeah. When we were kind of getting our little act together about what we were going to talk about today, mm-hmm. you said something to the effect of, this is a sermon really for 50 years from now.
Yeah.
So tell me what that means, and we'll end with that.
Okay. So we say this today. We say the Bible is our authority, and Jesus laid the foundation of the apostles. The apostles are the foundation they're teaching, and mm-hmm. we're to stick to that, and not veer to the right or the left, not get carried away by fads. And we can say, great, if we take our eye off that ball, it won't take 50 years. We'll be a few years down the road, and somebody at Grace Community Church would say, yeah, but what about? And you know, the culture is moving this way. And these things, they were for that day, and they don't really have relevance today. And it doesn't take into account a new set of realities in certain morality or certain mores or certain sexual ethics or certain ethics in general.
Yeah.
These doctrines don't really jibe today with what we're seeing in terms of religious pluralism. So, all right, you can see if we're not building on the foundation of the apostles, we'll drift. Mm-hmm. That would be awful. I can't imagine. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
And so we keep saying these things, and people might say, you're preaching to the choir. We believe the Bible around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for how long? Mm-hmm. And what about the next generation? And what about 50 years from now?
Yeah.
So that's all going on when we're doing this.
Okay. Well, we'll need to keep our eyes on the prize.
Let's end on a really upbeat note here. You know what? Jesus has his people.
That's right.
And Jesus, he will keep his church.
That's right.
Now, I want to be in that part of the church that he's keeping.
That's right.
I don't want to drift, but Jesus will keep his church faithful.
That's right. Yes. Well, good. We'll put our hope in that this week.
Yes. Thanks.